Right, the B cells. The B cells begin their lives in the bone marrow and they mature in the bone marrow. And their primary function is that they're involved with making antibodies. Now, both the T cells and the B cells have other functions as well, besides the ones I've talked about. They do also interact with some of the non-specific parts of the immune system, especially the phagocytes and so on. They send chemicals and so on that affect them. But we're going to talk mainly about their more specialized functions. The B cells make up about 10 to 15% of the lymphocytes. So keep in mind that the lymphocytes themselves, as far as a class of white blood cells, are fairly rare in the body. And then the B cells are the most rare of those. So, what are the B cells involved with? The B cells are involved with something called antibody-mediated immunity. And this is sometimes called humoral immunity. It has nothing to do with morals. It has to do with the humors. Way back in the study of anatomy and physiology, it was noticed that people who had been exposed to some diseases like chickenpox or cowpox or even survived smallpox or something like that, had an immunity to it later in life. And they knew that this immunity resided somewhere in the humors or the fluids of their body, and they didn't quite know what that was, what was causing that immunity. But we've discovered since those times that these are proteins called antibodies. And antibodies are made by the B cells. And each type of antibody, and there are many, 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 many types of antibodies, each type of antibody targets a very specific pathogen. So, for example, if you've had chicken pox in your lifetime, your body has the capacity to make antibodies which destroy chicken pox very quickly. And these antibodies travel through the body fluids and destroy specific bacteria, viruses, other types of pathogens, and so on. So some of the B cells are involved in making antibodies, and these actually are called the plasma cells. And when they are activated to make antibodies, they clone themselves. So sometimes they're called clones. So the plasma cells reproduce rapidly, and then each one of these clones, these identical plasma cells, starts to make antibodies and release those into the bloodstream to eradicate whatever is causing an infection. The memory B cells are very long-lived, and like the memory T cells, they store information about the antigens that were present on whatever the pathogen was that caused an infection. And these again are, you can kind of think of them as storing the recipe for how to make an antibody against certain disease organisms. So these are going to be involved in your long-term immunity. And again, these are long-lasting cells. And if you think about most, not all, but many of the diseases that you may acquire immunity to in your lifetime, you have that immunity for pretty much your whole life. So these memory B cells can last for a long time. I want to talk a little bit more about antibodies in particular. They are globular proteins. They're fairly large. And let's see, they have about six different functions. So they're very versatile little proteins, or actually large proteins. And I'm going to go through the six functions, and we'll cover these a couple times, but I'm going to go ahead and go through these. The first one is to opsonize, opsinize, opsonize. And opsonization, we've touched on before, has a variety of functions, but one of the main functions is that it attaches a chemical tag to the foreign antigen or the pathogen. And keep in mind that the words antigen and pathogen are sometimes used interchangeably. I like to think of antigens as the actual proteins or surface markers that are on the cells of our body cells and also of invading pathogens. But when you get into discussions about immunity, Sometimes the word antigen is used just as a generalized term, and it's used instead of saying pathogen. So instead of talking about chickenpox pathogen, you'd talk about chickenpox antigen. So one of the things that antibodies do is they tag or opsonize these antigens, and they make it easier for the phagocytes to find them. So you can kind of imagine it would be like if you were playing paintball and somebody put a glow-in-the-dark marker on somebody, they'd be easier to see. Secondly, they agglutinize the antigens, so they make them clump together. And if you think about that, if you make these antigens or these pathogens, however you want to say it, if you make them clump together, it's going to be harder for them to travel about the body, and they're going to become somewhat immobilized. And they're also easier for the pathogens to engulf, because instead of having to engulf, 2,000 separate bacteria or 2 million separate virus particles, they get to engulf one clump of these bacteria or viruses or whatever the pathogen might happen to be. Thirdly, antibodies have the capacity to bind with toxic chemicals that are sometimes secreted by bacteria or parasites or a variety of, pathogenic organisms. So these antibodies can bind with these toxic chemicals and render them inactive or inactivate them. So they bind to these chemicals and prevent them from harming the cells of the body. Fourth, the antibodies aid in the complement cascade. So remember that complement cascade, that was a series of reactions. It's actually part of the nonspecific immune system. And what the end result is that the especially bacterial walls or parasitic worm walls or other microorganisms, their cell walls become lysed, L-Y-S-E-D, or lysed or split open. So here's a good example of the specific immune system working directly with the non-specific immune system. So it helps the complement system along. And finally, I guess the fifth characteristic of the antibodies is that they stimulate inflammation. So again, this is another example of the specific immune system and the non-specific immune system working together. So for the fifth characteristic of antibodies or function of antibodies, they stimulate the white blood cells, the basophils, and also the mast cells in the body. And by stimulating these cells, they increase the inflammation and to some extent can also increase fever in the area. So I can't remember if I said that there were five or six functions for antibodies. I've just listed five of them, and we're going to stick with those for now. So five functions of antibodies. We'll probably review these again later. I want to point out about the antibodies, they are most effective against extracellular pathogens. So meaning pathogens that are in the bloodstream or in the tissues, but not actually inside the body cells. So antibodies are very effective at destroying pathogens. However, they cannot destroy pathogens that have already invaded and taken up residence inside the body cells, because the antibodies are not able to get there. So those are some characteristics of the antibodies.